So, okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. So it's good to see a small crew. Because when I first went to Melbourne to help support one of the monasteries that started roughly about 3 years ago, we used to have a small crew. The support wasn't there wasn't a lot of support. So the monastery in Victoria has been running for just over 3.5 years. The community grew from basically almost hardly anyone to close to sometimes 10 monastic there. So it went from 2 monastic to 10 monastic in a matter of 3 years. And we do have a lot of supporters coming and staying in Melbourne and in VSV and also in the monastery in Newbury. So when I come and see a small crew, I was so happy. That's nice and simple. As the monastery got bigger and bigger, in Newbury, so sometimes the monastery is full most of the time. So end up my workload has increased quite a lot. And when I went there, I'm still a very junior monk. I only have Paul Wasser when I roughly took over. But the senior monk left, then later on in this role. So the monastic there asked me to take over and support the new monastery. I'm proud to support the monastery, but it's time for me to come back here and have a break here. First time to time, with any new project, new community, the most important thing is the senior monk told me, if I need a break, please come back, take care of myself. Yeah. So I'm here, thank you. And nice to see everyone again. It's nice to be back in the Armandale group. Before I went to Melbourne or Victoria, I came here, gave a session before leaving to Victoria. Now I'm back. I just arrived last week, a few days ago. I spent a few days with my parents and they just dropped me off to the Armadale group. Because I asked the monastic if they require someone to teach before going back to the monastery. First they say it's not required. Then they rang me up the next day, asked to come in and give a teaching before going back to the monastery. Okay, so we will start off with the Metta Sutta. So I'll start with Namo Tassa three times, then the Metta Sutta.
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise will later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong or missing none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. mother protect with her life, her child, her only child. So with a humblest heart, should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading outwards to the sky and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, sitting or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the supply abiding by not holding to confuse the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
Duties, but when I recited that chant, it actually reminded of when I first joined the monastery. That was about roughly 10 years ago, and being a I think being a layperson, basically working long hours, having a lot of responsibility at work, running my own business, and I think after getting quite tired from running my own business for roughly about a year and a half, I decided to basically close my business down, pay off my debts, and join the monastery. So I joined the monastery for 2 weeks. I quite enjoyed the peace and quietness. The monastery, it actually gave me a lot of happiness, peace and freedom. Yep. So I think reflected when I went to Melbourne to visit the monastery for the opening ceremony. I saw that the monastic there was overworked, too much pressure, a lot of responsibility, and it actually reminded me of when I first started my own business. Working long hours, so it actually taking a toll on monastic, especially running a new monastery. So even myself, I've been working very hard for the last 6 months in Victoria, hoping to set up a new monastery, and it's quite well established now. We have a lot of people coming in, but it reached a point that where I realized, even as a monastic, I need to find time to have a break, to unwind, and not to be burdened with duties. So this coming Wasser, I'll be coming back here and staying for hopefully for 6 months, just letting go of a lot of my responsibility in helping establish a new monastery. This as a monastic, the heart of the teaching is to develop deep meditation, to calm the mind, to unwind from a lot of responsibility, and also to let go of a lot of the negative emotions. But sometimes, as a layperson, we tend to work very hard, we have a lot of responsibility, and one thing I find the hardest thing as a layperson is basically dealing with a lot of different people at work, friends, family, commitment, and same being a monastic now, supporting the monastery in Melbourne, supporting the Buddhist Society of Victoria. I find that it's a lot of responsibility too. So sometimes, if I'm not careful with my own practice, taking care of myself, then I can basically burn out. So any monastery in the beginning, like one example, like Bodhiyana Monastery, Ajahn Brahm wasn't the first abbot. Ajahn Jagir was the first abbot. He worked very hard, and also he got burned out too. So, after being 25 years in Robla, he also disrobed. He went back to lay life. Same with the monastery, in Satin Monastery, the first abbot that started the place also disrobed and left. And Wat Buddha Dharma, the first abbot also left. Been in Robla for 25 years, I think 30 years, he also disrobed. And the new monastery in Melbourne, the senior monastic working very hard for a few years, also went out, got burned out on this road too. So as a monastic, the most important thing is basically to take care of one's own practice. So this time I'm back here, and I'll make sure that I'll take care of myself. If I can't take care of my own self, my own practice, when I suffer, then it may affect other people around me too. Because I was talking to my sister, and she just given birth to his first child last year, and the child is 2 years old, so my little nephew is quite happy and quite playful. But my sister say that you see with parents, 1 out of 5 parents will get depressed, get overworked, and can suffer bad depression. And my sister saying sometimes you have to depend on friends and family to take care of their first child. So as for myself, sometimes I have to take care of myself too. If I overwork, overburden, I'll ask a monastic from Perth to come down and support the monastery in Victoria. And also I need to take time off too, just to take care of myself and the wine. Okay, so what we do is we'll start with meditation. So that's normally we start at 7:30.
Roughly
7:30, Okay. So maybe I'll talk about a bit about meditation. So with meditation, the most important thing in meditation is basically learning to relax, learning to relax the body. Because sometimes when I find we have a lot of new practitioners, they come down to the monastery in Bodhiyana. Also we get a lot of new people that's into new Buddhism, into Buddhism meditation. They come over to basic level meditation. Because one thing I find, staying in Victoria now, I find that people there, the lifestyle in Victoria, I reckon is more busier than Western Australians. And when I drive us around Melbourne, I always notice people are always rushing. Even in country towns, driving, we find a lot of people that drive really fast and tend to overtake the our vehicle quite often. So I realize that people are in a big rush to go to work, to come back from work, and there's a lot more pressure. So one thing I find coming back to Western Australia, straight away I feel really relaxed. I arrived back from Perth Airport, even coming back from the highway back home, and also from here, I noticed that the drivers here are quite relaxed. They tend not to drive so fast compared to Victoria. So Victoria has about 4 million people compared to Western Australia. So over there, the lifestyle there is a bit more hectic. Yep. And I mean, there's more excitement there too, but sometimes we realize it comes with a cost. because with a lifestyle, when there's more, we say the scene over there, the life, the industry, the lifestyle, everything there is more, we say, what's the word? I'll say it's more up to date, yeah? Things like fashions, lifestyle, food. One thing I noticed, the food in Victoria is way, way nicer than what we get here. So I think over there, people really enjoy, basically they live to enjoy life a lot. So the disadvantage of living so much, they have to work harder. So I find that the Victorian people, they tend to work very hard. So that's why I think that meditation and people that want time off, meditation has become very popular. Yeah. Especially in places where people work very hard. So, okay, so maybe we'll start off with a meditation. So there's a few new people here. Okay, so we'll start off with basically just body scanning, yeah? And learning to relax the body first. Because once the body is relaxed, then you can relax the mind. Because we find that when new people come in to start meditation, we find that their body is usually quite tense. And this comes from the tension, because when our mind is very tense, with a lot of responsibility, yeah? And a lot of things that we carry in our heart, if we don't learn to relax the body, yeah? Then the mind can't relax. So when we relax the body, then we relax the mind, then all this energy or tension, emotion will slowly fade away. Yeah? Okay, so we'll start off. I turn off the light. Thank you. Okay. So bring your awareness to the front of your face. So just breathe a few times. Deep breath, breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Relax. 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 And just breathe normally. Bring awareness to your back of your neck. Just relax. Relax your back of your neck. Relax. 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 Okay. So bring your awareness to your shoulder. To your left and right shoulder. Just relax. Relax. Relax, relax. Now bring awareness to your right
in your left arm. And just relax. Relax your arm. Relax. 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 Now bring your awareness to your back. And just relax your back. Relax. 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 Relax your back. Relax. Now bring your awareness to your lower back, and let's relax your lower back. Relax, relax, relax. Now, slowly bring your awareness to where you're sitting down. If you need to move it, then please move it and make it as comfortable as possible. Then just relax, relax, relax. Now bring your awareness to your right and left leg. Just relax it. Relax your leg. Relax. 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 We bring our awareness to our foot, our left and right foot. Our foot is what we use to work at the hardest in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, all the way back here. Now it's time for our foot to relax. So please relax your foot. Relax, relax, relax. Bring your awareness to your breath and just breathe in and breathe out. Couple of big breaths to breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in, peace. Breathe out, relax. Breathe in, peace. Breathe out, relax. Breathe in peace. Breathe out calm. And just breathe normally. meditation is learning to let go of the busyness of the day. It's learning to be with this moment. It's learning to unwind. From the busyness of work and responsibility. Let things go. If you're still carrying on any thoughts, any emotion, any bad feeling, now is the time, not my problem. Please let it go. And just enjoy the calm and the peace. the moment. And just relax. body, your back, if it's still a bit tense, try and relax it as much as possible. If you need to move, just move slightly. Try and make it as comfortable as possible. Few weeks that I've been mixing cement in that, so my back is also a bit sore. So I'll move it and make it quite relaxed as possible too. Working very hard, so you want to just allow your whole body just to relax and let it hang. sit down. We try not to make our back nice and straight, but just make it quite relaxed as possible. That's relaxed. When we relax the back, then all this tension will slowly disappear. So relax, relax the back. Minutes before the meditation finish. Within just 5 minutes, see how much you can relax the body and relax the mind and just let things go. that ring, just come our meditation gently. One of the benefits of meditation is to allow the mind and the body to basically become more calm and more relaxed. As we become more calm and relaxed, then our mind become very, or our awareness become very sensitive. So we become sensitive to our body, and also we become sensitive to our mind, our mental state. So I notice being working really hard in helping set the monastery, I notice that I get a slight stiff back, and that's quite normal, because first of all, monastic, we don't really work really hard, but when you start building a new monastery, you have to do a lot of cement mixing, and moving bricks, materials, and rocks, and a lot of physical work, and going to Bunnings, buying materials, putting in trailer, bringing back to the monastery, and getting things built. So after a while, when I come and sit down and meditate, I notice sometimes my back it's a bit stiff and my arm is a bit sore. That's fine, because the more I can relax, then the better for this body to basically recover and heal itself, and also to see any tension in my forehead, in my face, because when I come back to Bodhiyana after supporting the monastery in Victoria for six months, the monastic also noticed that I become more calmer. I don't complain so much, become more happier, and my face become more smoother. But sometimes in lay life and monastic life, we have a lot of duties and responsibility. So as a monastic, I remember in the beginning, I used to spend a lot of time in the forest alone, just practicing. Like sometimes I will not see another person for maybe 20 to 23 hours by myself. But now, coming to support the monastery, a new monastery in Newbury, sometimes I have a lot of emails or answers. A lot of people ring up to ask questions. After lunch, I have to give a Dharma talk and answer people questions. So sometimes I find that people ask me about a lot of their Buddhist issues and problems. And also, I get a lot of praise, but also I get a lot of blame. So one thing with being a monastic now, sometimes praise is good. Sometimes you feel good. You feel like doing a good job supporting the community and helping our lay practitioner and new people in the Buddhism. But sometimes with human beings, they always expect a lot from a monk. And sometimes some people, they do have a
quite maybe a negative mind, so I'm not perfect. I do make mistakes, especially running new monastery. I get a lot of, sometimes I get scolded, I get blamed, and things never go right here, especially in a new place. Things go wrong. So my job as a senior monk is basically to let all these negative thoughts and emotions go and don't carry it on. Because if I carry on too much, then it actually brings me down. So Ajahn Chah was saying, being an abbot, or seeing being a senior monk, it's like being a dustbin. People always come and see with all the problems. At the end of the day, with meditation, we learn to be like a trash bin with a bottom that can be opened and let all the trash go. So the most important thing, when we sit down and meditate, calm the mind, calm the body, and let all these negative thoughts and emotions go. Don't carry on. Because if you carry on, then I'll feel depressed and a bit miserable. So as a monastic, we have to learn to think of the good things, enjoy the good things, but also any negative emotion. Like the Buddha say, with everyone, we are praised and we are blamed. So because of that, we have to learn not to react. So when someone say nice thing to us, it's good. We accept it because we do something right. But when people are very angry, negative towards us, we have to learn to let it go. It's just cause and condition. It's a part of life. No one's perfect. We all try our best. But the best thing, most important thing, is to take care of ourselves. So when we get praise, we think of all the good things that we did, things that we did right on that day. But when we get blame, it's okay, it's a reflection to learn to let things go. Sometimes it's our fault, sometimes it's not our fault. It's just cause and condition. Or maybe the person's having a hard day, hard time. So, it's good to live simply. So when you live simply, you have a simple mind, then you have a peaceful mind. So I'm very happy to come back to Western Australia, come to see everyone again, and get to hang out with our supporters, and also hang out with the monks again. And when I'm back here, I almost have no responsibility at all. So that's a great relief. I used to take Bodhiyana and the quietness of the monastery for granted. I used to get quite bored when I'm up at Bodhiyana. All I see is just trees and kangaroos and my own mind. My restless mind. But now, supporting the monastery in Perth, in Melbourne, in Victoria, and the place is getting bigger and bigger. So it went from a very small community, we hardly anyone coming, to a community that's full. And the plan is to start building more kutis. And once the monastery is completed, it will go from less than 20 people to up to 48 people. So it's quite a big community in the future. So basically it's a good learning experience for me. So as for myself, I'm still learning. Okay, so I'll open to any question, if anyone will ask me any questions about meditation.
Venerable, when you've had a tough day or somebody's inappropriately criticized you, and that pops up in your meditation, can you give some tips to the audience about how you deal with that?
Okay, that's quite common. You see, when we get criticized or we get scolded, sometimes I have to reflect that the Buddha say in this world we're never free from blame. Sometimes blame will always come in our direction. But the most important thing is not to react to the blame or to criticize. To see that the other person is not happy and they see a problem. You might see a problem in the place, in the persons, or they're just having a hard time. And for ourselves, sometimes the best thing we can do is just listen carefully, listen with mindfulness, and see where they're coming from, and try to understand where they trying to put yourself into their shoes, and see if there any way that is we say is there any valid reason, and if there's no valid reason, then we should not learn to react to when someone criticizes us. And sometimes the best thing to do is sometimes to state our response and saying that I'm doing this because this needs to be done. It's our duty. Or if we make a mistake, sometimes we say, I'm sorry. Please let things be. Because sometimes if we get into argument, it ends up that there's no outcome. Because sometimes we anger, the Buddha say, it's like a sickness. So when the other person is angry, it's like they're unwell and they're sick. And if we join in the argument, then we become sick too. So you have two people that's unhappy. Sometimes the best thing to do is to try and set a good example. And when we set a good example, what we do by body, speech and mind, if it's correct and it's done properly, then that alone will always protect us. So that's why the Buddha say, if we keep the five precepts, we can't go wrong. And we have right intention. Intention of goodwill, intention of kindness. And also, if nothing works, then we should learn to forgive the person, and also forgive ourselves. Because we are also a human being. We should be treated with respect and kindness. I hope that answers your questions.
Absolutely.
And sometimes when you look at Buddhism, because the Buddha say on reflecting on non-self, because if we think there's a self, there's an I, there's an ego, there's someone to defend, then sometimes if we have too much of a self-righteousness, then there's something to protect, and there's something to argue, there's something to fight over. So sometimes the Buddha say, when you look at the cause and condition and non-self, to see actually there's no one there. If we think there's a person, then we hurt ourselves. But if we can let go of the I and the self, just learn to be silent, then when all these words come, then we're not affected. Yep. It's just like the wind comes and the wind goes. Yep. That way we learn to be at peace. Yep. We can sleep better, we feel good, and we can basically just go to work, be with our friend, be with our family, and just go with the course and condition. But sometimes it's very important to learn to be quite emotionally resilient inside. Because as a human being, you look at this society, people are so busy with work and duties. And I was looking at the news, sitting down with my parents, and I noticed people, if they can't let go of the anger, then it's quite sad. I see in the news that a father stabbed his 5-year-old son. And it's quite sad when something happened. That's why my sister was telling me that with new parents, if you don't take care of yourself, then you can basically drop into depression. And when that happened, then basically the parents can't take care of themselves, then they can't take care of the child. So it's very important. Even myself, supporting a new community, I have to take care of myself. When I take care of myself, I can take care of other people. Thank you. Okay. Do anyone have any questions? Yes.
What's your favorite meditation? Breath, metta.
It depends. If I find that my best meditation is when just letting go and let it be, and try not to try to meditate. Best meditation is basically learning to let things be and let it go. Because the more we try, the more doing happens. Yep. And if I'm unhappy or a bit irritated, a bit frustrated, then I'll do loving kind of meditation just to soften my mind down. Yep. So when the mind is soft, when it's calm, when there's goodwill, when there's happiness, then I go back to the breath meditation and just learn to calm the mind down. Just let things go. Yeah. So for me, I find my two favorite meditation is loving kindness and learn to let things go and just be at peace. Sometimes, if the body is quite tense and the mind is all over the place, then it's good to do walking meditation. Walking meditation is just to be aware of the body and just. The step and the rising and of the foot, left and right foot. So walking is good, just to slowly unwind the body and calm the mind down. So once the mind is calmer, then just see if there's any tension, then just do some metta meditation, then back to the breath. So my favorite meditation is usually the breath and loving kindness meditation.
In all your time as meditating, has it been smooth, or have you had low, high, or has it just got better and better? Has it been an easy journey?
Not really. Yeah. I think in the beginning meditation was easy because I learned to let go. So it's become very calm and peaceful easily. But when I started to really crave for the good result, then I suffered a lot in my meditation. So I reached a point where I realized that instead of letting go, I was doing meditation. And it became quite intense. So I reflected why I did meditation in the beginning. And the only thing that came to my mind is because I meditate to let things go and to be at peace and to be free. So once that memory came back, then meditation became very easy. Let's go back. Yes.
Do you normally do a body scan before you start meditation?
Usually it's for new people. So when new people come, because the mind is quite if we have a very busy day, our mind is very active. Yeah. Because these days, this society, we're so busy. When we wake up, when we go to work, when we listen to news, when we listen to other people talk, when we have to plan, our mind is very, very active. And when we sit down and try and watch the breath. One thing, when we sit down, try and concentrate on the breath, or be aware of the breath,
our mind is so scattered all over the place with different thoughts, different emotions on the past, the future, and sometimes the body is a very good object for the awareness to basically just to be aware of our body, and when we do the body scanning, there's an object to allow the mind and the body to slowly relax. As the body relaxes, then when you go back to the breath, back to the mind, becomes more, our mindfulness becomes stronger. Yeah. So always bring the awareness to our body first. But if your mind is at a calm, peaceful state, then it's not required to do a body scanning. So it all depends. Because sometimes I find that when I sit down, it's like my mind is going crazy. So then I do some walking meditation. So once the thoughts, it's not scattered, then my awareness is grounded to the body, then I bring my awareness back to the breath, back to the mind. Then it's easier to basically to be in this present awareness of moment, in this time. But to be present in this moment is very important. In order for that for my mindfulness to be stronger, we must have a calm, peaceful mind.
How did you choose to become a monastic, Venerable? How did you find Bodhinyana and decide to become a monastic?
Oh, okay. I think I decided to become a monastic is I realized that we say the happiness of the world, have done that, seen that, it really never really gave me any happiness. I was looking for the happiness within myself, within my heart, and within my mind. And when I stay in the monastery, spend a lot of time by myself, I sense to find that inner peace within my inner beings. So when I saw that happiness and peace coming from how I think, the way that I reacted to other people and to myself, and I realized that actually I can learn not to hold on to all these emotion, thoughts and views, and learn to basically just be at peace and be free. Then I realized that the happiness of being by myself and not to be basically conditioned by the world, just have a mind that's basically free from all the attachment and the worry, the burden, the endless thoughts of just wanting, like finding better job, getting by in life, because I find that being a layperson, when I was a layperson, that it was just too much burden and responsibility, that I was just going around and around in a circle, that I was not getting anywhere. The more I try, the harder I work, the more burden, more responsibility, and the heavier my mind became. So when I stay in the monastery, when I started to just let go and unwind, I find that my mind become very light and unburdened. And when that happened, my eyesight improved. I can see better. My hearing was quite good. My hand shakiness is not there. I did not have that nervousness, anxiety. So I feel more at peace. When I tasted that peace and freedom in my heart, I wanted more. So I wanted more. I find that the only way was to basically ordain and seek for that deeper happiness and freedom where I can find it. Because I used to work up in the mines,
and my mind will be basically crazy. So I started meditation. Is to learn to basically just be myself and learn to free myself from all these negative thoughts and emotions, and learn that I don't have to be conditioned by the world. I don't have to just do what other people want me to do, or basically to basically at that time my parents say, find a job, get married, slow down, then you'll be happy. But I see all my friends that went from job to job, career to career, relationship to relationship, all they did was, let's say, they had too much busyness, they don't have much time. So when I saw that, then when I started doing meditation, then I realized that I wanted to be happier when I was a child, free and burdened. So when I started doing meditation, I found that inner happiness, just able to be with this moment and not have a scattered and crazy mind. Yeah, so basically living simply, wearing the robe, spend a lot of time in the forest, actually gave me a lot of happiness, a lot of freedom. That's monastic. Sometimes you look at some monastic that's been in robe for many, many years, you find that as we stay in robe longer and longer, our face become quite smooth. I used to have eye bags here, so I don't have it much. I used to be quite sick. I used to have bad health. So one thing I realized, all these things arise due to just being too busy and just worrying too much. So when I take care of my heart and my mind and my mental well-being, then I find that actually when my mind is quite peaceful and calm, then my health improves. Then things like sickness, when I do get sick, I recover quite well. Like since I ordained until now, I've only been sick only once. I got really good health. So if we take care of our own mental well-being, then we take care of our body.
What parts of your monastic lifestyle would you encourage lay people to use in their everyday life?
Okay, patient, and also letting things be. Because sometimes as a lay person, we expect so much. We expect a lot from other people. Sometimes we expect a lot from even ourselves. So when I ordained as a monastic, I found out I don't have to expect so much from other people and don't have to expect so much from myself. I just gotta learn, I can learn to be at peace and be by myself and not learn to be conditioned or controlled by other people. Especially now, supporting a new monastery, being in charge, I find that sometimes the community, the lay people, the society would expect a lot from me and also try and basically control the way I run the monastery in Melbourne. Sometimes it's like almost like a game that people play, and it's coming from defilements. So they'll say things and do things in order to control me or to push my button. Yeah. So when I first took over the senior monastic in the new monastery, when the senior monks left, the community trying to control me, the lay people trying to get me to do things, the fact that the more I try and do what they want, the more unhappy I became. So I realized if I just do what I feel right inside, I become more happier. So I'm not getting control or being washed by other people. So when we have mindfulness, calmness, clear awareness, we listen carefully, we watch our thoughts very
clearly. Yeah? We see all these negative emotion arise, then we can learn to be more sensitive to how we're feeling inside. Yeah? So that way, in order that way, yeah, when things fall apart, we learn to basically not get caught up with all these problems, learn to be free. So that's one thing I learned as a monastic, yeah, and also supporting a new monastery, yeah, that you have to take care of yourself, yeah, and also make sure that you're happy inside, yeah. And when things are not doing well, sometimes the best thing to do is have a break, go away, take a holiday. So basically I'm back here for holiday. But so every time I go back to Melbourne, the community find I'm a lot more happier. Yeah. Because I learn not to carry all the problems with me. Yeah. So as a monastic, yeah, same, we have a lot of problems too. But the training is to learn to let things go and unwind, let it be. That way we can be happy. So when we're happier, then we can share the happiness with other people. I hope that answers your questions.
It sounds quite challenging when lay supporters want you to do what they want you to do, and yet you're examining yourself. Can you say more about that experience and kind of how you resolve it yourself? Because what you may feel in your heart, mm-hmm, and what's right, a number of lay people might go, no, mm-hmm, we're here to support you, you need to do what we're telling you to do.
The most important thing, yeah, is to see if you're coming from a good place, good intention, a benefit to everyone, including both parties, myself, our lay supporter, and also the monastery or the Buddhist society. Yep. If it's not leading to harmony, it's leading to more problems, more busyness, more conflict, then we should not head in that direction. Yep. I mean, there's many times I have to say no, because I have to take care of myself and also the community in Newbury. So sometimes it's kinder to say no. You cannot always say yes all the time. Okay, so is there any more questions? If not, then we can basically finish off. If anyone has any questions, then come and speak to me afterwards. Thank you. Thanks for coming. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.